Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to St. John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body, and he was raised after he was raised from the dead. His disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be. Be seated. Good morning. It's so good to finally be here in this space with you guys. As my husband David and my daughter Eliana and I were making the trip from North Dakota down to North Carolina, I was really excited to introduce them to a southern winter. And then we've had the last 2 weeks. So I'm excited this week that we can introduce them to a southern winter. Now, at first I was in denial that this was our fault, but I'm going to say that the last like 2.5 weeks has been our fault, so I'd like to apologize. And if it follows along with the Fargo weather pattern, we should have nice weather and no snow by mid-April. Does that sound good? Okay. Seriously, though, I want to thank you guys for the warm welcome that you have given to my family and I. And if I have not met you yet, I look forward to doing so, to learning names and faces and all of the stories in between. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I started to read up a lot on best parenting practices, I think as many new parents do, because the way that my parents raised me is different than how we raise kids now and is different than it'll be in a year from now as well. And as I was going along all these articles, I noticed a phrase that just kept on popping up time and time again. It's called emotion coaching. And I started to read more about what this is like. And we want to teach our kids emotional intelligence. So this is the new, like, trending parenting topic. And what it is you basically, as your kid's throwing a temper tantrum or going through an emotion, you don't just try to make it better for them right away. You let them feel their way through it, explaining and teaching them so that eventually they can regulate their own emotions. Now, having a toddler in the house, this becomes our day in and day out thing to do, helping her understand because she can't communicate fully with us, and we can't communicate with her, so there's a lot of frustration We started using baby signs and sign language to help her understand these different emotions. So we often ask, are you angry or are you frustrated? Are you sad? Are you happy? Are you hurt? So that she has words to know how to explain to us what's going on. And although pieces get missed in the in-between, it almost calms her for that moment that we understand that she's going through something. So then after that, we can do our emotion coaching, which says, okay, you can be angry, but you can't hit or throw or bite or whatever the action might be. So the toddler emotion coach wants to say to Jesus in this gospel for today, Jesus, you can be angry, but you can't throw over tables in the temple. It's the story that kind of makes us feel a little uncomfortable. It's not the Jesus that we first think of when we hear this story. We like to think of Jesus as welcoming the children in, or Jesus is teaching about loving our neighbors, or Jesus saying, forgive. And then when asked how many times, saying 7 times 77, that's how much we are to forgive. The Jesus that we encounter in today's gospel is a little different. It's an angry Jesus. And if we look at this story right before this one in our gospel reading for today, it's Jesus' first act of public ministry in the Gospel of John, which is turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana, and that then this would be Jesus' second act, public act, and they're really, really different. The first one is small and discreet, probably with a close group of friends and family, and it's a miracle that brings joy. This second act is very different, very public. In the temple, which was probably one of the most public places at that time, and we see Jesus causing a holy disruption to the systems and the that were in place at the temple. So it kind of makes us pause, makes us take a step back and say, well, what's going on? Why such a public scene? What's so wrong with what was happening in the midst of the temple? And so if we dig a little deeper, we know that for the Jewish people in Jesus' time, the temple was the be-all, end-all place. You made pilgrimages there. You made journeys there to the temple when a child was born, when a family member was sick, when any significant life event happened. And you made this journey to make a sacrifice, to be in the presence of God and to worship fully. Now, if you'd made this long journey and to make a sacrifice, you obviously did not bring your own animals with you to be sacrificed. So this turned into a business opportunity, and the temple took it. So there was money changers there who would take these foreign monies, and they would convert it to what was needed for the people to be able to buy the animals that were conveniently sold right at the temple as well. And what was happening, as we know happens all too often, is when you have a monopoly on something, prices tend to go up. And the Jewish people that had made this long, hard journey were not getting a fair deal at all. So when Jesus walked into the temple and saw what the people that he had been walking with and for were going through, he was outraged. Because this is not what God intended for the world. This is not what God intended for God's people either. This was not how we are to live in community. This is not how we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So Jesus got angry, and he got really, really angry. And the actions of this story, Jesus cleansing the temple, set the tone for the rest of Jesus' ministry. An author and blogger that I follow, Glendon Doyle Melton, once wrote, "Maybe anger is like compassion. It can point us directly towards the places in the world we were born to help heal." Maybe anger is like compassion. If we look at Jesus' outrage and anger, it comes because he was compassionate about the people that he was walking with. He was compassionate about the people that God had called and claimed, and he didn't like what was happening. Jesus' anger was because of his compassion for God and what was happening in God's house that just wasn't right. Jesus' anger and compassion led him to overthrow and overturn, literally, a corrupt system to teach a new way of life, to help us learn what it means to live in community and into a deeper love for our neighbors. On Monday, as I sat down to think and pray over this sermon, it was also Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I couldn't help but get one of Dr. King's sermons out of my head, and it's one of my favorite. I listen to it once a year. It's called A Time to Break Silence, and it happened a year to date before he was assassinated. And he's not talking about Jesus cleansing the temple, but instead he's talking about the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember that story? The guy who was walking down a road, got robbed and beaten and left to die, and the religious leaders passed him by. But it was a Samaritan who was considered an enemy of the day, was the one that helped him. And Jesus posed the question, who was the neighbor in this situation? But King points out in this story that the actual physical location of the road, it's called the Road to Jericho, and how it was this winding and torturous road. It set up perfectly for people to be ambushed and robbed and beaten. And it happened a lot, unfortunately. It got the name the Bloody Pass, even. And so Dr. King points out and says, one day we must come to see that the whole Jericho Road must be transformed so that men and women will not constantly be beaten and robbed as they make their journey on life's highway. True compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It's not haphazard and superficial. It comes to see that a system which produces beggars needs reconstructing. And that's what Jesus' anger was about. It wasn't just over one person being treated unfairly. Jesus' anger was about a whole system that needed to be reconstructed. Jesus didn't cleanse the temple just for that one day, and then they could go back about their business. He wanted it to be completely reconstructed, the whole system that left people exploited in the first place. Because the real importance and purpose of the temple, as Jesus towards the end of the gospel points out, did not rest on what was sold in that building, but in how it created community and opened people up to experience God. Jesus pointed to the people who he was angry with and pointed back to himself. I am the temple you have been waiting for. And although they couldn't understand what being raised in 3 days was, Jesus was telling them, the temple and God does not just exist in the four walls that are around him or us, that the temple instead exists in the body of Christ. Because the temple, in fact, would be destroyed, but the body of Christ remains forever, creating community, helping people experience God in new ways, and forever nudging us to step up for the love of our neighbors. And that's what we're called to today as well. Because when we encounter Jesus, we are given a passion and we are given compassion. We are given anger sometimes to look at the broken systems of this world. We are told that God doesn't live in a temple or in idols that the world would have us believe. Instead, God lives in and through us. And when we encounter Jesus, this is what we find. The temple is not the building, it is us out in the world, overthrowing the broken systems and helping those broken people. Because in all honesty, we can love our neighbor all we want. We can love them day and night. But if we don't realize the roads that are dangerous and the systems that are broken, we miss the point and the depth of what God is doing in the world. We miss the opportunity to love our neighbors more fully. We miss the opportunity to love God as well and to bring God's kingdom here and now. And yes, that is a big, huge task. So I'm really happy that I have brothers and sisters along this journey, that we can do this together. It's not just one of us, it is us as the body of Christ out in the world that does this work of God. And following Jesus means sometimes that we get angry too. Sometimes that anger leads us to the points where brokenness is, and we learn from God what to do there. So may we listen closely to where God is calling us in this world to change, not just with our ears, but with our hearts and with our anger and with our compassion. And when God is nudging us to do something, may we step up as the body of Christ to make that happen in this world today. Amen.